Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Well, it's great to have you here this morning, both everyone here who's live and those who are watching online, as we're kicking off a three-week series called Mindset, where we're going to be talking about how do Christians live in an election year? What kind of mindset should we have regarding the election? I knew it would be very quiet when I said that statement this morning. We are at a really critical time in our nation's history, and one of the biggest mindsets we need is prayer. That's number one. I'm just going to put a little plug in. The Assemblies of God Missions Department, United States Missions Department, has put out a prayer guide that is for 30 days in the month of August. We have copies out on the sign-up center, and I encourage you to grab this. It is a great guide. There's kind of a picture up there. It gives specific prayer focuses for every day of the month during the month of August, and I encourage you to join us in prayer for that. How many of you like watching the news, especially during the political season? There's a few of you. You know, I try to avoid it. You know why? Because I find watching, whether it's CNN or Fox or MSNBC, whatever it is, it just has a tendency to suck the life out of you. Now, maybe some of you are energized by that, but it is so easy. You watch the news, and there's something that can just rile you up one way or another. How many of you are political junkies? Raise your hand, huh? Some of you are. How many don't give a rip about politics? Okay. How many of you are just here to watch the train wreck? Okay. How many are ready to move from the train wreck? You know, there is a billboard on CY Avenue. I don't know if you've seen it. It's by a railroad company. It has pictures of the two presidential candidates, and it says, "Moving to Canada? We can sell your home." Hey, Canada's not the answer. They're worse off than we are, okay? This morning, we need to realize that politics is part of life. Politics is part of living with people, and you can put two people in a room, and it's only a matter of time before there's going to be some tension, before there's going to be something that comes up. That's just life. And politics is even more because it's such an emotionally charged topic. It's an emotionally charged issue. And the question that I want to answer in the next 3 weeks in this series is, how do Jesus followers live in an election season? How did Jesus followers live in an election season? And there may be some of you here today, you're not a follower of Jesus, or you're watching online and you're not a Christian. My prayer is that by the time that our series is done over the next 3 weeks, that you would see something different. You would see and say, man, you know, I never saw it quite like that. I want that. And really, it's not a that. It is a who. Because Christianity is not a religion. It's about Jesus, about a relationship with him. And our prayer is that if you have been kind of disenfranchised from the church, from Christianity, that you would realize that God wants a relationship with you. That's what it's all about. So, this morning, I want us to realize that politics is really a no-win situation for the church. Did you realize that? It's a no-win situation because every year during election season, churches tend to lose people. We lose people both on the right and the left. There's something called the political spectrum. The political spectrum is this wide-ranging span of ideologies. You've got philosophies on the far left. You have philosophies on the far right. Those who are on the alt-right, you're never going to please them because they always want to make their cause, their mission, their purpose, the central focus, and they want you to say certain things, to take stands on certain issues, to do more than what a pastor is comfortable saying. They want to go beyond what the mission of the church is and make the mission of the church something else. What is the mission of the church? help all people find and follow Jesus. So that's the alt-right. But then we also lose people on the alt-left because traditionally the evangelical church has voted conservatively. And as a result, many people on the alt-left, they're just going to totally disregard the church, not listen to anything. So we lose with the alt-left, we lose with the alt-right, we lose people on the extremes. And there may be even some of you over the next few months who will lose some friends. Maybe even friends right here in the church, because as politics come up, if something comes up, if someone feels like you don't agree with them exactly the way that they feel you should, they're going to just disenfranchise you and you're no longer my friend. I don't want anything to do with you anymore. We're going to talk about what is the proper mindset that we need to have. You see, elections and politics are emotionally charged. When I say words like conspiracy theories or wokeness, for some of you, it's just like you hear those words and it's like the scratching of fingernails on a chalkboard. Or vaccinations, January 6th. Some of you is like pacemaker, 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 pacemaker. You know, we hear that. I was anticipating when we showed that bumper video, at certain points when certain phrases came on, I would hear some boos. You know, politics emotionally riles people up. And I even have a place in my sermon today that says, pause and let people walk out of the room. Okay? I'll let you know at what point of the message that is. But that's what politics does. It can really charge people up. Have you ever seen some nasty Facebook posts dealing with politics? Oh, just ugly, ugly, ugly. I want to set our series up with this following verse, all right? Mark chapter 12, verse 30. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And I want to just kind of underline, circle, emphasize that word with all your mind. Because our minds have been hijacked by a wrong mindset. Our minds in the church, many in the church, we've been hijacked by a wrong mindset. Hear me, I don't want to appeal to your emotions today. It would be very easy for me to stir up your emotions and get you emotionally charged. I don't want to do that. I want to speak to your mind, to your thinker. Because the things that we share over the next few weeks, I want you to take them home. I want you to think about them. I want you to process them. That's why we're calling the series Mindsets, because we need a different mindset because we've been hijacked by culture, and culture gives us the wrong mindset. I started out by saying there's a political spectrum. Where do you find yourself on the political spectrum? Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but here's the thing. I myself, I don't want to be found on the political spectrum. Because the thing is, as soon as you identify with one concept, one issue, one statement of the alt-right or the alt-left, and you find yourself agreeing, what our culture does is they take you and now say, you have to embrace all of our ideology. They lump you completely into that one camp. My wife, she's going back to college. We became empty nesters this last year. She's going back to college to get her degree. And in one of her papers she wrote, she did a paper on immigration. And as she was sharing all these different perspectives, I found myself saying, you know what? I have some perspectives that are right or alt-right and some that are on the left. And it's like, you know, for some people, it's like, oh, I can't believe you are left or right on this issue. And what we do is, as soon as we hear someone say one thing, we tend to think they are totally in that camp. And friends, that's dysfunctional thinking. And dysfunction produces dysfunction, which then leads to more dysfunction, and it leads to division. What is the proper mindset that Christians need to have? We don't want to be found in the political spectrum, but and some Christians say, you know what? We need to be in the center. That's not the answer either. You know, we don't want to be fair and balanced, because fair and balanced is not always correct. I want to be correct. I want to be good. I want the things that are right, not politically right, but that are right, that are proper, that are correct. That's what we need to be. And if that's sometimes, that might not be fair and balanced. So this morning, in your notes, we need to have a different mindset. And the good news is we can have it. What is that mindset? It is a kingdom mindset. We need a kingdom mindset during this election season. A kingdom mindset is bigger than we realize. It should affect our everyday decisions. Not just our politics, but our kingdom mindset should affect our finances, our business ethics, our work ethics, our parenting, our conversation, our attitudes. A kingdom mindset should affect everything about us. How often do you pause and ask yourself and say, what is best for the kingdom regarding this situation? What is the kingdom mindset? What does God's kingdom say about this situation? If you haven't asked yourself that question, you need to ask yourself that question. In your notes this morning, 126 times in the gospel, Jesus uses the phrase the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. That's a lot of times. Jesus was about the kingdom of God 126 times. We see it in every gospel. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From then, Jesus began to preach, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Mark 1:15. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. You know, I don't believe anyone has ever referred to the political spectrum as good news. Right? No, but Jesus says, hey, the kingdom, that is good news. Luke 4:43. I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God. John 3:3, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And Jesus taught the kingdom in an extremely divided time in Israel's history. In fact, Israel was way more divided than what America is divided. You see, in Jesus' time, there were the alt-left and the alt-right. You had the zealots. And Jesus, when he chose the disciples, he brought both sides to the table. That's called Thanksgiving, all right? Jesus brought both sides to the table. He brought Simon the Zealot, and the Zealot said, we need to kill the Romans. You see, the Romans were oppressing the Jewish nation. You had two nations. You were very divided. And the Zealot says, let's kill the Romans and overthrow the Roman Empire. But then you had Matthew, who was a tax collector, who collects funds for the Romans so they could continue oppressing the Jews. You couldn't get two further extremes, and Jesus said, I'm bringing both sides into my fold, into the table, because Jesus is the great unifier. And friends, Jesus, he can unify the church. We might be diverse in our thoughts, in our policies, in our politics, but we can be united around Christ. Okay, that was really weak. Jesus is the great unifier. And we can be united around Christ regardless of our politics, regardless of our border policy provision, regardless of our pronouns, regardless of our stance on abortion. We can be united. Now, some of you are saying, but what about our values, Craig? We got to vote our values. Okay, just chill out. All right, this is a three-week series. I'm only about 15, 20 minutes in, all right? We'll get to that. In fact, week three, we're going to talk about how voting is worship. When you go into the polling booth, the voting booth, it's a place of worship. We're going to talk about that in week three. We can do this. We can be unified. We can show the world a different mindset, a mindset that focuses on the kingdom of God. because there's really two kingdoms in the world. You have the kingdom of man, which is nations, politics, governments, policies, economies. And then you've got the kingdom of God, which is soul and spirit. It is sin and righteousness. It is repentance. It is justice. It is holiness. It is peace. And God wants us to be people of the kingdom. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "We are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives." Did you realize that you are a citizen of heaven? We are citizens of heaven. Heaven is our home. We're just foreigners. How many have ever been on a trip overseas to another country? You go to the other country, and a lot of things are different. I've been to Mexico on some missions trips. The language is different. The customs are different. The rules are different. Everything is different, and you just don't feel you fit in. Friends, we are foreigners here in this world. Heaven is our home. But what we have done is we have adopted the mindset of this kingdom. And so instead of the world's thinking, feeling, and foreign to us, it's comfortable. And God says, you're citizens of heaven. You need to new mindset. You need to change your mindset. He goes on to say, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. Anyone here want Jesus to come back before the election? The only ones here are the teenagers, the unmarried singles. They're saying, no, God, no. You know, I remember before I was married, I say, Jesus, just hold off. Let me get married and have woohoo. Uh-huh. That's it. Hey, you were the same way, all right? This is a difficult crowd this morning. The kingdom mindset helps you and me see things differently. I love America. We are so blessed to be Americans. Our freedoms, we could gather here this morning without any concern about being arrested, imprisoned, losing our family, fear of being killed for worshiping. You didn't think twice about it today. Your biggest hindrance to coming to church was, do I want to get out of bed or do I want to stay home and watch the Open Championship? All right? Those were your biggest hindrance. We are so blessed. I love America. I love our freedoms. We are so blessed. We are a land of prosperity. I appreciate our freedoms. But the kingdom mindset means something else. It means in your notes this morning that I am a follower of Jesus before I am an American. Being a follower of Jesus before I am an American, that is the kingdom mindset. And we can never lose that focus. We can never lose that focus. In our politically divided world, if you are of the kingdom of heaven, then they automatically say you must be against America. And that's not the case. That is polarizing thinking. It's dysfunctional. It's not helpful. It's not healthy. You can be an American and be a Christian, but the kingdom always comes first. There is an order in that. There is an order. How many have ever heard the phrase, God, family, country? How many have ever heard of that phrase before? Or those who like alliteration, faith, family, freedom. You know, I like that. But here's the thing. There are some people that they go faith, comma, family, comma, freedom, comma, and they make the three of those equal. Friends, they are not equal. It is God first. Seek first the kingdom, then family, then country, then freedom. As believers, we are to be about the kingdom of God. Jesus gives us an order in our thinking. He said in Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Another translation says it this way. It says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. How many want everything you need? I do. Then seek the kingdom first. Don't seek politics first. Don't seek wealth first. Don't seek your career first. Seek the kingdom first. Two things about seeking the kingdom we draw from this passage. It's there in your notes. We need intentionality. We have to be intentional about seeking the kingdom. Being kingdom-minded just doesn't happen by chance. We have to be deliberate. We have to be intentional because, number one, we all have a sinful nature. We are inclined to be selfish, not thinking about God, not thinking about His kingdom, His rule and reign in our lives. We think about what we want. And so that right there fights against it, but then we are influenced by culture around us that's pulling us in several different directions. So we need to intentionally seek the kingdom of God. And then secondly, righteousness. When you have the right mindset of the kingdom, your behavior will follow. You will live righteously. If you're seeking first the kingdom, you will live righteously. Because what God wants is what you want. If you're letting God rule and reign in your heart, soul, mind, with all your strength, then righteous living is the natural byproduct of that. So we need to be intentional. And we need to make sure that we're letting the kingdom influence our lives so that we are people of righteousness. Our theme for 2024 is pursue His presence. We pursue His presence by seeking the kingdom first. If we don't seek the kingdom first, we're not going to pursue His presence. We're going to pursue politics or money, prestige, whatever it might be, pleasure, comfort, ease. We need to be kingdom seekers. We have in your notes, a heart check question. This is a question I ask myself every so often to try to help me keep centered on the right mindset. Here's the question. If the kingdom of God would advance further, farther, and faster with the demise of America, would I be okay with that? I want you to think about that. If God's kingdom could advance further, farther, faster by the demise of America, would I be okay with that? Am I good with my freedoms being gone if it means God's kingdom is going to grow and expand, that it's better for the kingdom for that to happen? Let me Wyomingize that, okay? If the kingdom of God would advance further, farther, and faster without me owning my guns, would I be for that? Pause and let people walk out of the room. If you had a, when I made that statement or the one before it about the demise of America, you have worldly thinking. Because you see, the advancement of the kingdom is the only thing that matters as citizens of heaven. We need a new mindset, church. We need a new mindset. We have been caught up in politics, and it has resulted in people not finding and following Jesus because they see our politics more than they see our Savior. And Jesus needs to be front and center in the church, not our stances. Two characteristics of a kingdom mindset. Number one, unity in the middle of diversity. When we have a kingdom mindset, there's going to be unity in the midst of diversity. Jesus had it on his team with the disciples, Simon the Zealot, Matthew the tax collector. There was unity and diversity because Jesus was the unifier. And we have many different differences in our church. We have differences theologically. There are some people who believe that you can lose your salvation, and there's some people who believe you can't lose your salvation, that once you're saved, you're always saved. There's some people that believe in a pre-trib rapture. Some believe in a mid. Some believe in a post-trib rapture. So there's differences of theology. There are some people that we have political differences. Some are Republicans, some are Democrats, some are independents. There are sports differences. We have Broncos fans. Okay, not many here today. I guess they're at the lake. There's Raiders fans. There's Chiefs fans. Wow. There's Cowboys fans. Both the Dallas Cowboys and the Wyoming Cowboys. We have differences in sports, but we can have unity. There's fashion differences. Some of you, you are thrifters. You go to the thrift stores and you find it. Some of you are high-end Walmart shoppers. Some of you go to Kohl's or you take trips down to Denver to go to Macy's and Nordstrom's and all those different places. We have differences there. We have some color diversity. In Wyoming, we do not have a lot of color in this state. We are pretty pale-faced. But I thank God that we have different ethnics in our church, and I want us to have more color diversity in our church. We have economic status differences. Friends, there's a lot of differences we have, but the thing that brings us together is Jesus. He's at the core of everything. And when we have a kingdom mindset in Jesus' core, it doesn't matter about our differences because we're putting the kingdom of God first in our lives. We're living righteously. We need to be united about that, Radius. In a divided world that Jesus is first, I'm seeking first the kingdom above all else. A second characteristic of a kingdom mindset is that if we have a kingdom mindset, then we're going to love like Jesus did. We're going to love like Jesus loved. We're going to love like Christ did. John 13, 34 to 35. Jesus is speaking, and he says to his disciples, and he's right before he's going to be crucified. It's the last night he's alive on planet Earth. He says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Okay, yeah, we can love each other. But then he says it this way. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. How did Jesus love? Jesus loved us when we were killing him. Jesus loved his enemies who put him on the cross. When he's hanging there, he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Is that how we love? When people are ridiculing, mocking us, when they're bad-mouthing us, maybe intentionally hurting us, harming us, are we loving them like Jesus did? No hatred, no animosity. We love like Jesus did. You see, in an election year, the love of Jesus proves we're his disciples. Being political doesn't, but loving like Jesus does, that is what changes lives. While the world is fighting, I don't care about your political party. You know what I care about? That you are being refined by the Holy Spirit. What I care about in an election year is that you are walking in obedience under the leading of Jesus Christ. Because, Radius, if you are allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you into the kingdom, your kingdom mind, and so you're saying, this is what God wants. If you're doing that, you're going to behave right and you're going to vote right because the Spirit will guide you. And I don't have to worry how you're going to vote because if you have surrendered to the Holy Spirit's guidance, that's what I'm concerned about. If we are kingdom-minded people, it's going to influence our lives. My vision for our church is that we are slow to speak and we're slow to post. That we just don't do Facebook dumps or Instagram dumps and blah, 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 blah. Because that doesn't bring anyone to Jesus. That brings no one to Christ. When the world is fighting, as a church, our hands are raised in praise. When the world is divided and slandering and cutting each other down, we're united around the table of Jesus, seeking the kingdom, wanting what he wants. As the world is divided, we're focused on the kingdom of God because we realize this world is not our home. And if people don't see the kingdom, they're going to go to hell and spend eternity in hell. And we love them too much to do that. Here's the thing, friends. No politician will save our country. No politician will give us revival. No politician is going to make everything okay again. Only when Jesus, the King of Kings, comes back to earth, stands on the Mount of Olives, sets up the millennium, only then is this world set straight. And we have looked for too long for the White House, the State House, or the courthouse to change our society. But friends, politics, the courthouse, the Supreme Court, who's in office, is not the hope of the world. The church is the hope of the world. You and I are the hope of the world. But they won't see that hope if we're not kingdom-minded. You see, there are times when people find out that you voted that way or you're that party. There are some churches like this. They then disenfranchise that person from their congregation. They won't have anything to do with them. Friends, that's not loving the way Jesus loved. If that's the way you love, you've got a worldly mindset. You're not of the kingdom. And you need to repent. God is looking for us to love the way he loved. The kingdom works in every culture. Did you know that the church is growing in North Korea? It is. Do you realize that one of the greatest revivals the world is seeing today is in communist China, where the only place you can have church is a government-sponsored church, but there are underground churches and they are exploding. Revivals happening in China. You see, the kingdom of man cannot stop the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God works in every culture, in every political system. Israel and Gaza, they need the same thing. They need Jesus, not a peace treaty. They need the Prince of Peace. Israel needs to recognize her Messiah who came 2,000 years ago. His name is Jesus, and he will bring them peace. And the Palestinians in Gaza, they need to bow at the name of Jesus that everyone's going to bow to someday. Jesus is the hope of the world, not politics. That's what our world needs, and we need to shout it from the mountaintops. We need to shout it in our workplaces, shout it in our schools, but only in between classes so you don't get kicked out. You want to be respectful of your teachers? The world needs Jesus. We have an opportunity to show that as kingdom-minded people. Friends, I don't want us to be a political church. I don't want us to be an American church. I don't want to be a red church or a blue church. I want to be a forever church. Because Jesus said, upon this rock, the revelation of who I am, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not stand against it. If a church is building on anything other than Jesus, it's not going to last. It's not going to make it. It's not going to reach all people and help them find and follow Jesus. That's why God still has us here on the planet. But we've been too worldly-minded, and maybe it's not politics. Maybe it's about our own comfort. Maybe it's about our own leisure, our own pleasure, or our own wealth, our own riches. God forgive us for not being kingdom-minded. Why is this so important? Because, friends, when marriages crumble, that couple is not concerned about who's sitting in Washington, D.C. in the Oval Office. When they go to the doctor and they get a tragic report, they're not concerned who's in control of the Senate or the House. When the foundation of their life, something happens, some tragic circumstance, and their foundation is crumbled, they need a foundation that is going to be solid and will hold them up. And that foundation is Jesus. That's why kingdom-mindedness is so important, way more important than our political view, way more important than who's in office. this morning, is your mindset of the world or is your mindset of the kingdom? Don't be hijacked by the wrong mindset. Next week, we're going to talk about civility, kindness and love, how to be nice and how to share your opinions without being a jerk. Okay? That's next week. And I'm not saying you have to think the way we do, because you know what that does? That takes away diversity, and that would be boring. But what I want you to do is I want you to take the messages over these next few weeks, think about them, pray about them, process them, say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Show me what I need to change in my life to be a kingdom-minded believer. Process this with your mind. In week three, we're going to talk about voting, how to vote. Voting is worship. I'm going to wrap up with a verse that we started in the beginning, but I'm going to add another verse to it. And the last four words of this verse, I want us to read together, and I'll help you when that is. We're going to read Philippians 3, 20 and 21, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for Him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like His own, using the same power with which He will bring, read these last four words with me, everything under His control. Say it again. Everything under His control. Again, everything under His control. Stand with me this morning. Let's pray together. Lord God, I pray right now that we're going to be a united church in a divided world. I pray, Jesus, that You would forgive us for being hijacked by worldly mindsets. Give us a kingdom mindset. We don't have anything to fear. As we look at our nation that is a mess, You have everything under control. And so we trust You as our Lord and our Savior. There's some of you here today, you're walking in fear, you're living in fear. And maybe it's because you see our nation, you see the state of the nation, and it just causes you to be in anxiety. Every time you turn on the news, you just get all riled up, and you're living in this panic, this anxiety. Maybe for some of you, there is a situation in your personal life. It's not politics, but there is something in your life, and it's caused fear and apprehension. I want you to know, Jesus has everything under His control. You can trust Him with your situation. There are some of you here this morning, you're putting your hope in the wrong things. Jesus is the only hope. You need to put your hope in Jesus and seek Him first. And then there are some of us today, maybe we would say, man, I really need a daily kingdom mindset. I realize, as we've been talking, I'm not always thinking about the kingdom as I go through my day and my choices. And I need a daily kingdom mindset. If any of those things speak to you this morning, you've got fear, you need to put your hope in something different, or you need a daily kingdom mindset, I want you just to raise your hand this morning. Just put your hand up high. Father, I pray right now that You would be with every situation. God, You see the hope that people need. I pray, Father God, for the anxiety, the worry, the fear that people have. And God, I pray that each of us would say, I'm going to seek first the kingdom. And as I do, I'm going to trust You, that You will give me everything I need. I'm going to live righteously. I don't have to live unrighteously to try to cut corners and make things work out. I can do what's right and believe that God's going to take care of all my needs according to His riches and glory. God, I pray that You would help us to be kingdom-minded. And as the world looks at us, they would see unity in Your church here at Radius, oh God. And there'd be something different. There is a love like they've never seen anywhere else, even though we're different. Oh, God, use us to help all people find and follow Jesus. There are some of you here, you're not following Jesus. You're not a follower of Christ. One of the verses we read earlier was Matthew 4:17. It says, Jesus began to preach, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And as you've been listening throughout this morning, you know God's kingdom is near right now. You sense it. He's been knocking on the door of your heart. You know you've sinned. And God's telling you, you need to turn from your sin. You need to turn to me. You need to repent of your sin and surrender the leadership of your life to Christ and let him be your leader, your king, your president, your Lord. If you're here in the house or watching online and that's you, I want you just to raise your hand. Put your hand up high this morning. If you'd say, Craig, I want to be a follower of Christ. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Anyone else this morning, you'd say, I want to be a follower of Christ. I want to seek his kingdom first. I don't want to seek my own ways. I want to surrender to him. I want to turn to God. Just lift your hand this morning. Anyone else? Those online, if God's speaking to you, go ahead and put your hand up right where you're at. God sees that. Anyone in the house this morning? Anyone else here before we pray? Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else? I would like everyone to repeat this prayer after me. Lord God, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I turn from my sin and I turn to you. I will follow you and seek your kingdom first. Take control of my life. Guide me in all things. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me and dying for me. Amen. Amen. For those of you who raised your hand, I encourage you to do two things. If you received Christ today, became a follower of Jesus. One, there is a card in front of you. I'd like you to take that card, fill it out, and halfway down there's a box that says, I received Christ today. Check that off and take that to the welcome table. Give that to them, and they've got a book they're going to give you that's going to help you grow in a relationship with Jesus. And then secondly, if you haven't been baptized in water, sign up for water baptism. We're doing it at the end of August, our celebration service. And if you've received Christ in the past few weeks and you've never been baptized in water, you haven't been baptized since you've become a follower of Christ, Jesus wants us to be baptized. It's an act of obedience. So I encourage you, sign up at the sign-up table for that. All right? Those are the two things we want you to do. We're going to dismiss you this morning. I want you to be praying and processing. Say, God, show me where I've fallen short of a kingdom mindset. Help me to have the mindset of kingdom first. Make that your prayer this week. As you go, our worship team is going to sing and our prayer team is going to come. And there might be some of you today that say, I need prayer for my situation. We talked earlier about miracles coming out of worship. And if you want prayer for that miracle, I encourage you to come up to one of our prayer team members as our worship team sings. Hey, God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday. Have a fantastic week.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.